Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the psychology of God. Part 1, the tendency to synthesis. Before we get started, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. When psychology shifts its attention away from the study of the psyche of the individual, usually an abnormal individual, to a focus on the psychological qualities of the greater whole, of which we are but a part, we shall arrive at a new comprehension of deity or God. How can we speak of a psychology of God? Doesn't psychology apply only to people?
It does if you're focusing only on the microcosmic level of the human being. But as the opening thought from Alice Bailey said, it's what we're addressing today is the qualities of the greater whole of which we are but a part. Humanity is a part of a great life. Everything that manifests on Earth is a part of this one great life. And that's known as the macrocosm, in which each human being, each one of us, is a microcosm. And if we take our eyes off of the microcosm of the human experience, we can understand that everything, including deity, has a psychology. In the sense of the real meaning of the term, psychology means the word of the soul. And the psychology of deity, or of God, is the expression of the soul of all things, functioning through all parts of all forms. When we try to define or qualify this divine expression, one way we have done so is through a discussion of the seven rays, which, as listeners know, is a sevenfold expression of deity through will or power, through love, wisdom, through intelligence, through harmony, through knowledge or science, through idealism or devotion, and through the union of opposites, of the fusion of spirit and matter. So building on that knowledge of the seven rays, we wanted to discuss the tendency to synthesis, which is one of the attributes of the soul. But in general, we can say that it's the force of evolution. The soul is the driving force that compels evolving life on all planes.
Yes, and I think this whole subject is quite vast in its scope, and it's going to require of the listener perhaps the need to stretch your mind outside the box and think outside the box, way outside the box. Because this subject, if we're talking about the psychology of God, or the the same reflection of psychology that we have in human beings, but on a much more spiritual, higher level, on a cosmic level, in a sense. And so I think if you can stretch your mind to be more inclusive and to look beyond your religious trainings, your doctrines that you have grown up with, then you'll begin to understand and see what we're talking about, I hope, because it does get kind of cosmic in its nature. And so we'll have to see what happens. I think the scope of this subject is such that we talk in universal terms, in solar terms, and in planetary terms, and so try to bear with us, and we'll try to explain as we go along.
If we begin with the first of the rules for inducing soul control, which is a very fancy way, I think, of saying rules or guidelines for fostering the awakening of the soul aspect of divinity, particularly in the world, the first one is the tendency to synthesis. Fostering this tendency on earth through human affairs, through the way we human beings relate to the tangible outer world, lets in an expression of divinity. I find that just an amazing thought, that we human beings can actually contribute to the expression of divinity on earth. I think Western religion, I might be wrong here, but it seems to me that Western religion tends to foster a sense that God is apart from the manifested world, greater than and above and beyond this mortal coil that is so filled with evil. In one sense, that's true, but God is also present in the created world and in the life of every human being, and this can be awakened and manifested through the tendency to synthesis, for one. Alice Bailey wrote that the motivating urge of God, his outstanding desire, if we can say the word desire on a very high level, is towards union and at-one-ment. That is the urge of God, union and at-one-ment. And we've said so many times that behind all the outer diversity of the world, there is oneness. And the return to, or the realization of that oneness, I think, comes through synthesis.
Yes, and this same sense of synthesis that is present in the one of the psychological factors of God is, is also present in us. I mean, in human beings, because we have this same tendency to synthesis, and it starts way down, even at the herd consciousness, at the level of the herd, because there is that tendency to move together, to come together, to be attracted to others of a like kind. And we see this, as is pointed out in the teachings, we see this same synthesis in the construction of cities. Great cities are centers of attractive power, that where people are drawn together for usually purposes of their own, but there is something deep within the human psyche that draws people together like this, and that is the power of synthesis.
And that same urge to synthesis is what lies behind the religious impulse. I think for eons of time, from earliest Homo sapiens, there has been an expression of the religious impulse on, in many ways, what we would call a very primitive level, but there has been a realization of a great power behind life that needs to be appeased and understood. And We see that in the very meaning of the word religion, which is, I think, from the Latin religare, which means to bind back. And so we can get a sense of this synthesis, of this return to wholeness as the impulse, whether we know it or not, behind a religious belief. It's a deep-seated urge in the human being to seek closer union with this power that the human being senses lies behind life. And it's this same sense that gives us a faith or a conviction in immortality.
Yes, it's the instinct to unify also, and that is something very deep, and perhaps we just take it for granted in our daily life that we have this instinct to unify and not to separate. There is obviously too much tendency to separate going on in the world, and that is a tendency that has to be overcome, because it kind of goes against the whole instinct of God to unify.
And yet even that tendency to separate has in its own weird way an impulse to synthesis. Because if we look at some of the greatest problems in the world today, we see they are tribal in expression. People cleave to their own kind, what they think is their own kind. They cleave to their tribe, whether that be in the real sense of societies that are still divided along tribal lines, or in a little more abstract sense of wanting to be with people who one believes resemble oneself in terms of one's race, religion, cultural level, economic level, educational level. The tribal impulse is alive and thriving. So even the fact that tribalism in human consciousness creates divisions among people is in its own way an expression of the fact that we know we're not completely alone. We're not alone on the atomic level.
No, and it's something very deep and instinctual in us, and it comes by way of the soul. The soul is the unifying factor here, and this soul impulse is there from the very beginning, from mm-hmm. the time that men and women first began to walk upon the earth.
And this expression of synthesis, this urge to synthesis, can't just be understood as the desire for unity. It's much deeper than that. Alice Bailey wrote that synthesis is, whether we know it or not, there's nothing we can do about it. It's a law of the cosmos. It is. Unity is what has to be created. Unity is what human beings have to achieve and manifest. Unity occurs on the outer planes. That's where we have to build our harmonious, peaceful structures and relationships for living with each other and with the other kingdoms. Synthesis is behind all outer manifestation, and it is simply a law, one of three great cosmic laws that govern our solar system. One of the laws being the law of economy, another being the law of attraction, which manifests as love, and the third being the law of synthesis, which is the tendency to concentrate at a center, or to fuse and blend and merge, as if God expresses his power as a centrifugal force.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, The Psychology of God, Part 1, The Tendency to Synthesis. This is a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and it's The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. Deity is defined by Alice Bailey as the soul of all things. The soul, the higher self, or individuality, is the guiding force within every human being. Through the law of rebirth or reincarnation, the soul returns to manifestation life after life for purposes of service to the plan. This is more or less a little something on a theme that you'll find within the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life, and I think also you'll find today's discussion explored in a deeper way. So if you'd like to take advantage of this offer and take a look at the soul, the quality of life, look deeper into the soul, this book is available for $16. And the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So what you need to do, if you'd like to take advantage of the order of the offer, is send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's $16. Ask for the book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. Send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And write a little note saying you heard about the offer on the show Inner Sight. If you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, the website, www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. I'd like to ask for your help. We really need your help because we'd like to be able to pay for these programs. Many of you have been listening to us for a long time, and we certainly appreciate your support. Donations, both large and small, are appreciated. So if you'd like to contribute to furthering this program and seeing that we stay on the air, please send your donations to Lucis Trust, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I remember in an earlier program, something came to mind as I was listening to today's theme, which is the psychology of God, but I think, Sarah, it was you who brought up a quote from the ancients. The essence of this ancient quote was, to know yourself is to understand the universe.
That was the Delphic Oracle, not me. I can't take credit for that
well,
one.
You brought it up in the show, though, but I was thinking, could we extend
that? Know thyself and thou shalt know the universe.
Now, could we take that a step further? To know thyself is to understand the psychology of God, or is that pushing the envelope, maybe?
on a very advanced level, yes. To know oneself on the most spiritual level that we exist, yes, is to enter into the psychology of God. Because if we believe that the human being on its highest, most spiritual level is already divine, and the whole point of human evolution is to realize that divinity in active outer expression, then yes, we on our highest level have some awareness of the psychology of God. The problem is our dualistic worldview that we bring with us into incarnation. We lose track for a very long time of our spiritual origin, our spiritual essence, because we become so identified with the outer material realm. And the reclaiming of our birthright, of our divine heritage, is the whole point of the spiritual path. And it takes a very long time, but it has a point to it. I think the human experience is to manifest this God consciousness on earth, in manifestation, in the way we deal with the material realm.
Well, yes, that's the whole point behind all of this, that, and I think that, because it mentions in the opening thought, when psychology shifts its attention away from the study of the psyche of the individual, to the more universal understanding of psychology, then we will be on the way to understanding more of the nature of the whole and the great spiritual destiny. And it is a spiritual mm-hmm. destiny of the human race, humanity itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what kind of the kind of thinking that we'll have to begin to think about and to manifest is this the great destiny that lies ahead for the human race and our responsibility to become, as it says in the books, yeah, eventually a station of light on planet Earth.
Yeah, there is a contribution that the whole human species, which is esoterically the fourth kingdom in nature, is intended by God to manifest. So if we get out of our own little microcosmic worldview, which is all about me, 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 and start thinking about we, humanity, we gain some glimpse.
And that's the kind of, as he says here, she says, the role of psychology
mm-hmm.
to begin to lift and expand this whole vision and to try to see the greater psychology of the soul at work.
I think it's unfortunate that modern psychology is so fixated on the individual's idiosyncrasies. And I'm very aware of how much my own attention is given to my own quirksome psychology and my own idiosyncrasies. So I'm not finding fault with anyone who is spending lots of time on that level, but it's just so all-absorbing, and yet we lose sight of our humanity and of the psychology of human nature in its divine essence. It's a 180-degree shift, I think, from focusing on abnormal neuroses to the divine destiny that every human being can take part in. And I think if we start looking at these rules for inducing this soul control, we'll gain some sense of our future psychological well-being. For instance, the tendency to synthesis. We can see it in ourselves and in our fellow men in a multitude of ways. One marvelous development of recent decades has been the exponential growth of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, charities, non-profit foundations that exist worldwide for the betterment of humanity and the betterment of the planet. They are groups of people who have come together not for self-service, although some groups work for solving problems that they collectively share, like Alcoholics Anonymous. That's fine and that's good. There are other groups that are engaged in service to some cause that exists quite apart from their own need. And this is an example of synthesis, isn't it?
Yes, it's that very basic tendency in the human psyche to reach out and to include mm-hmm. and to be more inclusive and look for the needs that need to be taken care of.
Identify with something.
Identify
larger.
With, that's a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to identify, because it's the next step. I mean, to identify towards, it moves us in towards group consciousness, in other words. And that's really the next step for the human consciousness to develop, the group nature of consciousness.
And in fact, that is an aspect, a central aspect of the path of spiritual evolution, because synthesis is the force that leads to initiation. The initiations being the basic and major steps along the spiritual way. Synthesis always fosters incorporation into or identification with a larger realm of life. That is marked by initiation. The consciousness expands to include a larger realm of life than it had previously grasped. So synthesis is that propelling spirit.
Right, and this, as we try to point out, is one of the one of the psychological factors of God's own nature is this tendency to synthesis, and this is where we get the tendency. It comes by way of God, and in fact, it goes beyond God. It goes beyond the God of this planet to the God of the solar system and beyond. That's why I said earlier it is so huge and tremendous that we have to begin to think outside the box.
Yes, it does involve some mind stretching. Alice Bailey had an interesting idea on the point you just made. She said the law of synthesis has a direct connection with the one who is still higher than our logos. And it's a law of control exercised by him upon the logos of our solar system. She said this is a spiritual relationship that fosters the synthesis of the spiritual elements that will result in their conscious return, the whole point being the word conscious, to their point of synthesis or unification with their source. That applies to all of us. We are all on that journey of return to our source, the source which is described as the one about whom naught may be said, so vast and so all-encompassing is that great life. On another level, another way of putting it, she said, in synthesis and in the all-inclusive awareness of the great life, which unfolds all that is, everything except what we know is evil, is persistent and forever endures. Nothing is lost in merging with this greater life. Everything is to be gained, except the relinquishment of our separativeness, of our insistence on cleaving to our independent individuality, which is pure illusion. That's the only thing we give up on this path of synthesis. But it has to be pursued in freedom, not under compulsion from any outside source. It's a self-chosen path, and when we're ready for it, we do choose it.
Please take advantage of our special offer today, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. And if you read this book, you'll be able to go into greater depth on today's topic, which is the psychology of God. So if you'd like to take advantage of the offer and get this very interesting book, it's available for $16. It's been discounted. What you need to do is send check or money order to Lucis Publishing, L-U-C-I-S for Lucis, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you need to get in touch with us for any reason whatsoever, give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.